I have them 10-7 and getting to the wild card round. I don't believe, obviously, they'll win the division. I have the Jets for that. But look, if you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I think he's proven to us enough time. For as much criticism as he gets, I think he's unquestionably one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. Trevor, he's had an overall grade above 90 in four straight seasons. The only other quarterback in PFF history to do that is Tom Brady.
Who is that again? Who's talking there, Josh? Dalton Wasserman. Is he PFF? He said PFF at the end, so is he PFF? Okay, there you go. Well, apparently 103 people who voted on Josh Allen being the most overrated player quarterback, you know, don't agree with that. But I agree with pretty much everything he said, which is, except for one thing, I'll tell you. The Josh Allen, that if the Bills will always have a chance as long as they have Josh Allen, right? I mean, that's what it is. As long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I always say that. People say, Bill's going to be good this year. Man, a lot of changes. Going to take a step back. I'm like, dude, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And you don't know. It's a war of attrition. We know that. And thankfully and luckily, Josh has, I'm knocking on wood here, Josh has stayed healthy. He has, I think, the longest starting streak of any active NFL quarterback. You know, he's a guy that's available, and he gives you a chance to win every week, and he gives you a chance to win every season. And that's not going to change as long as he's out there. And we see teams every year fluctuate. The best quarterbacks are generally the teams with the best quarterbacks, the teams that are, you know, in the mix at the end. And you might get a couple here or there that are in a different situation. But that's the Bills. And they still have a good roster. Is it as good as it's been? No, I wouldn't sit here and say that. But man, I got people telling me it's a drought era roster. Maybe, I don't know. Is that true? Is it a drought-era roster except for the quarterback? I guess you could probably look at some, you know, spots on the team. That's a good question, actually. I thought about that when someone said it to me the other day. It's a drought-era roster. I'm like, okay, let's take the best drought-era team. You put Josh Allen on that team. What happens? Because you know what? There were some pretty decent rosters without the quarterback, and then they had some really putrid ones. So I guess it depends on what drought-era team you're thinking of when you say drought-era roster. I mean, they're better than, you know, when they went 0-8 to start the season, the roster, outside of quarterback even, without Josh Allen on it, obviously. They're better than that, but are they as good as what they were maybe in 11 and what they were in, 0-4 would have been a really good one, right? That's a drought team, 0-4. That's the first, that's the, you know, Steelers backups coming here and winning the last week of the year to keep you out of the playoffs. That's what that is. So it is interesting how people are looking at the roster, and it could change today. We are 23 minutes away from waivers being, well, the deadline to claim people. Now, listen, it doesn't, stop forever. Waivers are done at 12 p.m. for anyone who was released over the last couple of days. Even if you're released on Saturday, I think you have to wait till today to go on waivers. What does happen, though, starting at 4 p.m. today, there's another new wrinkle I need to tell you about. Waivers end at 4 p.m. today. Then you have, teams have, I think a little bit of a few hour grace period here, because by 4 p.m. today, you can then put players on injured reserve. And if you do that today, as opposed to yesterday, they can come back after 4 weeks. Now, yesterday, you still were able to do that with two players, and the Bills did, with Matt Milano and Darrington Evans. By the way, when they did it with Milano, they didn't initially say designated to return with Milano, but later we learned that that was the case, and I've confirmed it. Yes, he is on designated to return. So is Darrington Evans, which means both players are eligible to come back after 4 games. With Milano, we know it'll be longer than that, but at least there's hope there. There's optimism by giving him that designation. So, at some point. So today, though, if you put a guy in IR today, he's off your 53. So now you have 52. Let's just say, for example, Mitch Trubisky goes on IR today. This is the example I was talking about earlier. If they put Mitch Trubisky on IR today by 4 p.m. and at the end of the day, transactions, now you have 52 guys in your roster. Now you can sign another player to your active roster. That could go for anybody. But then Mitch Trubisky, in this case, could be anybody, would then be eligible to come back after 4 weeks. And you don't have to declare it right away. Not like yesterday. Yesterday, you had to declare two people if you wanted them to get that designation. Today, you don't. For the rest of the season, you don't. You just do it when it's time. So if you put a guy in our IR today, you just wait. And then when he's ready to come back, you could say designated to return. If not, you just don't do that. Doesn't eat up one of those, you know, 8 that you have total. The other part about waivers is, even through the season, as Mike Catalano was talking about earlier with Joe Andreessen, you know, during the season, it might be easier to get a guy onto your practice squad, because what happens is teams start setting their rosters. Then, you know, whether it's tomorrow or a week from now or week 10 or week 16, doesn't matter. If a player is released with less than 4 years experience, he goes on waivers the next day. Like, bam, anybody can claim him. That's just the season now. That's what happens from here on out. We are in regular season rules. We are in regular season mechanics when it comes to the roster. And we are only, 12 days away from the opener. 11, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's Tuesday. It's Sunday, September 8th. Crazy to think about. So today there's practice. Brandon Bean's going to talk at 2:30, practice at 3. But media today also gets shifted to regular season rules. So that means myself, my media colleagues that you follow and pay attention to that cover the team, we can only watch stretching and then individual position work and then get out of there because they're working on game plan stuff and they're doing regular season stuff. So that's when that starts today. But then we are able to talk to players, and I'm sure that today one of them will be Joe Andreessen. John in Amherst. What's going on, John? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. What's going on? I was wondering if you could just kind of elaborate a little bit more on the injury players not being able to be cut. I understand that, you know, same thing with me working at work. If I get injured, my company can't just fire me because I'm useless to them at the time. But how to, and maybe you've answered this a few days ago and maybe I missed it, but how does that necessarily work out? And do you think that the injury to Evans led to the cutting of Frank Gore Jr.? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, John, thank you very much. You don't have to hang up. I'll put you on hold if you want to just hang on. But there you go. He hung up. That's okay. I'll try and answer this best I can. I love your example of you saying in your real life workplace, same thing. You get injured at your real life workplace. They can't just fire you because you're useless to them, right? There's got to be some sort of compensation. You have, you know, injury, you know, insurance and things like that, whatever. I mean, you got to go through the process of that. Workman's comp, right? So in the NFL, if a player is injured, a team cannot just outright release them. They can't say, sorry, we have no use for you. We don't want you in our training room eating up space. You're gone. You can't do that. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. It protects players who are injured from that happening. So what you have to do is you either have to kind of carry the player on your roster, and then when they're healthy, they can play for you, or you can place them on injured reserve. And according to NFL rules, you place them on injured reserve. Now they can miss four games. After four games, they can come back if they're healthy enough. Now, this is where an injury settlement comes in. So injury settlements work like this. If a guy gets hurt in practice, whatever, he's in a game, and you say, you know what? No, he's gonna miss some time, but we gotta fill the roster spot. We only have 53. I mean, we can't just carry him for the next few weeks and just doing nothing. So you put him on IR first. You put him on IR, you know he's gonna miss at least four games. And then the team goes, you know what? We think he's gonna miss a couple weeks. And then the agent and the player go, no, he's going to miss 6 weeks. Like, well, we don't see it as a 6 week injury. We see it as a 2 week injury because the team, you know, because the reason is the player wants to get paid for the number of weeks he's hurt. That protects him because he can't get released while he's hurt, right? So you have a negotiation. The agent says it's six, team says it's two. So you settle on four, let's say. Okay, we're going to pay you for 4 weeks. Go on your way. We're going to release you. That's called an injury settlement. He gets paid for 4 weeks of work. At that moment, the player can sign with any other team. He is a free agent. Bam, as soon as it happens. He cannot re-sign with the team that just gave him the settlement because that would be circumventing the injured reserve situation, right? But once he waits, the number of weeks of the injury settlement, which in this case would be four, and 3 additional weeks, whatever the injury settlement is, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you have to wait that and 3 weeks. Now he can return back to your team. It happens sometimes. It's not normal. Usually a player goes on his way, signs with another team. Second part of your question. I don't think Darrington Evans had anything to do whatsoever with Frank Gore being released. Frank Gore was released because the Bills have James Cook, they have Ray Davis, and they have Ty Johnson. And as much as you people may say, well, I'd rather have Frank Gore than Ty Johnson. I get it. I get the upside. I get what you saw from him. Ty Johnson's a veteran who understands pass blocking, who can return kicks, who's good out of the backfield. Joe Brady used him a lot. They're just, I'm sure, not comfortable yet with Frank Gore doing all those things yet. So he develops. So you hope you get him back. You put him on the practice squad. And maybe there, maybe, because Darrington Evans is an IR, maybe that's your question, actually, that you called in about. Maybe now because Darrington Evans is on IR, maybe that's how you get Frank Gore Jr. back to their practice squad and say, hey, dude, you are literally like the only backup on the practice squad. Darrington can't play for 4 weeks. If there's an injury, we can elevate you. And that might be a selling point to Frank Gore Jr. to actually get him back. And thank you, by the way. I didn't even think about that until I just walked through it in my own head. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I hope that answered your question. We'll be back here. We'll wrap things up. We're 15 minutes away from waivers ending on day number one in the NFL transactions.